Welcome to In Your Corner, a program designed with you in mind. The Christian life is the fight, and we want you to know that we're in your corner. God the Father loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you, and has given his Holy Spirit to indwell you and guide you and keep you, and has given you people like myself in the body of Christ to help shepherd you along. Yes, we're in your corner. And the Bible says, if God be for us, then who then can be against us? We're here to help you get your day started with song, scripture, and prayer. Because we're going to beat the devil, we got to get filled up with the Spirit of God. Then we got to get dressed up with the Word of God. Then we got to get prayed up with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to Almighty God. Yes, we are in your corner. So go wake up your sister. Go wake up your brother. Go wake up your niece. Go wake up your nephew. Go wake up your friend. Go wake your co-worker up. Wake up mama, wake up daddy. Whoever is in the house, wake them up. Let them know that In Your Corner is on the air. Let them know that we're on the air, beaming the love of God. From Dallas, Texas, all the way throughout America and beyond. All right, get out the bed, get out the bed, sleepyhead. You done had enough sleep. Come on, get out the bed. You got to get up and go to work. You got to go to work this morning. You got to go and hit that clock. Get out the bed. All right, I ain't got no roosters. Them roosters still hadn't came back yet. Y'all going to have to send me an email if y'all want the rooster. Because the rooster said they ain't coming back until y'all get out the bed. They said they ain't getting up. They ain't getting up. If nobody else get up, they say they ain't getting up to try to wake you up. All right, so if y'all want the roosters come back, just email me at BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. Or call me 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. All right, let me just get a song here. This is an old song by the Soul Stirrers, Sam Cooke and the Soul Stirrers. Touch the hem of his garment.
In the Bible days, she had been sick, sick so very long. But she heard my Jesus was passing by, so she joined the gathering throng. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, what are you trying to do? She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. She cried, oh. I know I'll be made whole. And oh, she spent her money here and there until she had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior couldn't see. But still he turned around and cried, somebody touch me. She said, it was I who just want to touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole right now. She stood there crying, oh.
That was Sam Cooke and the Soul Stirrers. touch the hem of his garment. All right, that's your song for today. That's your song for today. All right, it's time to read the Bible now. It's time to read the Bible. Go get your Bible. Go get your Bible. This morning we'll be reading again out of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 17 through the 22nd chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah, let's start reading in chapter 17 this morning. Reading along this morning with your Bible experience.
A prophecy concerning Damascus. See, Damascus will no longer be a city, but will become a heap of ruins. The cities of Aroer will be deserted and left the flocks, which will lie down with no one to make them afraid. The fortified city will disappear from Ephraim, and royal power from Damascus. The remnant of Aram will be like the glory of the Israelites,
declares the Lord Almighty.
In that day, the glory of Jacob will fade. The fat of his body will waste away. It will be as when reapers harvest the standing grain, gathering the grain in their arms, as when someone gleans heads of grain in the valley of Rephaim. Yet some gleanings will remain, as when an olive tree is beaten, leaving two or three olives on the topmost branches, four or five on the fruitful boughs,
declares the Lord, the God of Israel. In that day, people will look to their Maker and turn their eyes to the Holy One of Israel. They will not look to the altars, the work of their hands, and they will have no regard for the Asherah poles and the incense altars their fingers have made. In that day, their strong cities which they left because of the Israelites will be like places abandoned to thickets and undergrowth, and all will be desolation. You have forgotten God, your Savior. You've not remembered the rock, your fortress. Therefore, though you set out the finest plants and plant imported vines, though on the day you set them out, you make them grow, and on the morning when you plant them, you bring them to bud, yet the harvest will be as nothing in the day of disease and incurable pain. Woe to the many nations that rage. They rage like the raging sea. Woe to the peoples who roar. They roar like the roaring of great waters. Although the peoples roar like the roar of surging waters, when he rebukes them, they flee far away, driven before the wind like chaff on the hills, like tumbleweed before a gale. In the evening, sudden terror. Before the morning, they are gone. This is the portion of those who loot us, the lot of those who plunder us. Woe to the land of whirring winds along the rivers of Cush, which sends envoys by sea and papyrus boats over the water. Go, swift messengers, to a people tall and smooth-skinned, to a people feared far and wide, an aggressive nation of strange speech, whose land is divided by rivers. All you people of the world, you who live on the earth, when a banner is raised on the mountains, you will see it. And when a trumpet sounds, you will hear it. This is what the Lord says to me.
I will remain quiet and will look on from my dwelling place, like shimmering heat in the sunshine, like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest.
For before the harvest, when the blossom is gone and the flower becomes a ripening grape, he will cut off the shoots with pruning knives and cut down and take away the spreading branches. They will all be left to the mountain birds of prey and to the wild animals. The birds will feed on them all summer, the wild animals all winter. At that time, gifts will be brought to the Lord Almighty from a people tall and smooth-skinned, from a people feared far and wide, an aggressive nation of strange speech, whose land is divided by rivers. The gifts will be brought to Mount Zion, the place of the name of the Lord Almighty.
A prophecy concerning Egypt.
See, the Lord rides on a swift cloud and is coming to Egypt. The idols of Egypt tremble before him, and the hearts of the Egyptians melt within them.
I will stir up Egyptian against Egyptian. Brother will fight against brother. Neighbor against neighbor. City against city. Kingdom against kingdom. The Egyptians will lose heart, and I will bring their plans to nothing. They will consult the idols and the spirits of the dead, the mediums and the spiritists. I will hand the Egyptians over to the power of a cruel master, and a fierce king will rule over them.
Declares the Lord Almighty. The waters of the river will dry up, and the riverbed will be parched and dry. The canals will stink. The streams of Egypt will dwindle and dry up. The reeds and rushes will wither. Also the plants along the Nile at the mouth of the river. Every sown field along the Nile will become parched, will blow away and be no more. Those who fish will groan and lament. All who cast hooks into the Nile, those who throw nets on the water will pine away. Those who work with combed flax will despair. The weavers of fine linen will lose hope. The workers in cloth will be dejected, and all the wage earners will be sick at heart. The officials of Zoan are nothing but fools. The wise counselors of Pharaoh give senseless advice. How can you say to Pharaoh,
I am one of the wise men, a disciple of the ancient kings?
Where are your wise men now? Let them show you and make known what the Lord Almighty has planned against Egypt. The officials of Zoan have become fools. The leaders of Memphis are deceived. The cornerstones of her peoples have led Egypt astray. The Lord has poured into them a spirit of dizziness. They make Egypt stagger in all that she does, as drunkards stagger around in their vomit. There is nothing Egypt can do, head or tail, palm branch or reed. In that day, the Egyptians will become weaklings. They will shudder with fear at the uplifted hand that the Lord Almighty raises against them. And the land of Judah will bring terror to the Egyptians. Everyone to whom Judah is mentioned will be terrified because of what the Lord Almighty is planning against them. In that day, five cities in Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear allegiance to the Lord Almighty. One of them will be called the City of the Sun. In that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the heart of Egypt, and a monument to the Lord at its border. It will be a sign and witness to the Lord Almighty in the land of Egypt. When they cry out to the Lord because of their oppressors, he will send them a savior and defender, and he will rescue them. So the Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians, and in that day they will acknowledge the Lord. They will worship with sacrifices and grain offerings. They will make vows to the Lord and keep them. The Lord will strike Egypt with a plague. He will strike them and heal them. They will turn to the Lord, and he will respond to their pleas and heal them. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. The Assyrians will go to Egypt, and the Egyptians to Assyria. The Egyptians and Assyrians will worship together. In that day, Israel will be the third, along with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing on the earth. The Lord Almighty will bless them, saying,
Blessed be Egypt, my people. Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance.
In the year that the Supreme Commander, sent by Sargon, king of Assyria, came to Ashdod and attacked and captured it, at that time, the Lord spoke through Isaiah, son of Amos. He said to him,
take off the sackcloth from your body and the sandals from your feet.
And he did so, going around stripped and barefoot. Then the Lord said,
just as my servant Isaiah has gone stripped and barefoot for 3 years as a sign and portent against Egypt and Cush, so the king of Assyria will lead away stripped and barefoot the Egyptian captives and Cushite exiles, young and old, with buttocks beard, to Egypt's shame. Those who trusted in Cush and boasted in Egypt will be dismayed and put to shame. In that day, the people who live on this coast will say,
see what has happened to those we relied on, those we fled to for help and deliverance from the king of Assyria? How then can we escape?
A prophecy concerning the desert by the sea.
Like whirlwinds sweeping through the southland, an invader comes from the desert, from a land of terror. A dire vision has been shown to me. The traitor betrays. The looter takes loot. Elam attacked. Medea lay siege. I will bring to an end all the groaning she caused. At this, my body is racked with pain. Pains seize me like those of a woman in labor. I am staggered by what I hear. I am bewildered by what I see. My heart falters. Fear makes me tremble. The twilight I long for has become a horror to me. They set the tables, they spread the rugs, they eat, they drink. Get up, you officers! Oil the shields! This is what the Lord says to me.
Go, post a lookout and have him report what he sees. When he sees chariots with teams of horses, riders on donkeys or riders on camels, let him be alert, fully alert.
And the lookout shouted,
day after day, my lord, I stand on the watchtower. Every night I stay at my post. Look, here comes a man in a chariot with a team of horses. And he gives back the answer, Babylon has fallen, has fallen. All the images of its gods lie shattered on the ground.
My people who are crushed on the threshing floor, I tell you what I have heard from the Lord Almighty, from the God of Israel.
A prophecy concerning Duma.
Someone calls to me from Seir.
Watchman, what is left of the night? Watchman, what is left of the night?
The watchman replies,
morning is coming, but also the night. If you would ask, then ask, and come back yet again.
A prophecy concerning Arabia.
You caravans of Dedanites, who camp in the thickets of Arabia, bring water for the thirsty. You who live in Tema, bring food for the fugitives. They flee from the sword, from the drawn sword, from the bent bow, and from the heat of battle. This is what the Lord says to me.
Within 1 year, as a servant bound by contract would count it, all the splendor of Kedar will come to an end. The survivors of the archers, the warriors of Kedar, will be few.
The Lord, the God of Israel, has spoken.
A prophecy concerning the Valley of Vision.
What troubles you now? That you have all gone up on the roofs, you town so full of commotion? You city of tumult and revelry? Your slain were not killed by the sword, nor did they die in battle. All your leaders have fled together. They have been captured without using the bow. All you who were caught were taken prisoner together, having fled while the enemy was still far away. Therefore I said, turn away from me. Let me weep bitterly. Do not try to console me over the destruction of my people. The Lord, The Lord Almighty has a day of tumult and trampling and terror in the Valley of Vision, a day of battering down walls and of crying out to the mountains. Elam takes up the quiver with her charioteers and horses. Kir uncovers the shield. Your choicest valleys are full of chariots and horsemen are posted at the city gates. The Lord stripped away the defenses of Judah, and you looked in that day to the weapons in the palace of the forest. You saw that the city of David had many breaches in its defenses. You stored up water in the lower pool. You counted the buildings in Jerusalem and tore down houses to strengthen the wall. You built a reservoir between the two walls for the water of the old pool, but you did not look to the one who made it or have regard for the one who planned it long ago. The Lord Almighty called you on that day to weep and to wail, to tear out your hair and put on sackcloth. But see, there is joy and revelry, slaughtering of cattle and killing of sheep, eating of meat and drinking of wine.
Let us eat and drink,
you say,
for tomorrow we die.
The Lord Almighty has revealed this in my hearing.
Till your dying day, this sin will not be atoned for,
says the Lord Almighty. This is what the Lord Almighty says.
Go, say to the steward, to Shebna, who is in charge of the palace, what are you doing here? And who gave you permission to cut out a grave for yourself here, chewing your grave on the height and chiseling your resting place in the rock? Beware, the Lord is about to take firm hold of you and hurl you away, you mighty man. He will roll you up tightly like a ball and throw you into a large country. There you will die, and there the chariots you are so proud of will become a disgrace to your master's house. I will depose you from your office, and you will be ousted from your position. In that day, I will summon my servant Eliakim, son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with your robe and fasten your sash around him and hand your authority over to him. He will be a father to those who live in Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I will drive him like a peg into a firm place. He will become a seat of honor for the house of his father. All the glory of his family will hang on him, its offspring and offshoots, all its lesser vessels, from the bowls to all the jars. In that day,
declares the Lord Almighty,
the peg driven into the firm place will give way. It will be sheared off and will fall, and the load hanging on it will be cut down.
The Lord has spoken.
All right. That's our scripture reading this morning. We read out of the book of Isaiah. That was Isaiah chapter 17 through 22. May God bless those who have heard and who have read his holy word. All right, y'all. It's prayer time. It's prayer time. It's time to pray. Let us come on to Jesus. I want to pray because we're getting ready tonight for Bible study. So I want to remember the Bible study tonight in our prayers as well. Come on, y'all, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for giving us another wonderful day, a day we did not earn, a day we did not merit, but it was by your amazing grace, dear God, that we have another day. And Lord, we want to lift up our Wednesday night Bible study tonight. Lord, we want to lift up all of the ministers, dear God, that you have called to preach and to teach your word, dear God. We ask, dear God, that you will give them the time they need to prepare, dear God, the sermon tonight or the Bible study tonight. Dear God, we ask that you will give them what you want them to say. That Lord, we won't say just what we want to say, but we'll say what you would have us to say. Touch our hearts and our minds in a mighty way, dear God. Fill us, dear God, with your spirit so that your people will be hearing indeed the word of God. Lord, we pray that we can also speak the truth in love, dear God. Lord, we pray that you'll touch the heart of your people and bring them to Bible study tonight, bring them to worship tonight, dear God. We pray for the choirs or the praise teams that will be singing. We pray for the deacons and the people that will be praying. We pray for all the teachers that will be teaching, whether it's the youth teachers, the youth pastors, the children ministers, the children workers, the youth workers, dear God, the adult workers, the men's class, women's classes, however they have it broken up, dear God. And then, Lord, we want to just pray for our workers today and those that's going to school today, dear God. We ask your protection on us. Protect us today from any hurt, harm, and danger. Dear God, and we just pray that everybody today can have a good day. So, Lord, we ask that you will put us all in our right frame of mind and spirit so that, dear God, whatever we encounter this day, we are handling it in spirit and in truth. Lord, we just thank you so much. Now, protect your people from any hurt, harm, and danger. And we'll be careful to praise you for it. For it's in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. All right, that's it. That's it. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. That's it. That's it. That is it this morning for this portion of In Your Corner. We done had our song, we done had our scripture, and we done had our prayer, we done had our devo, we done had our devotion this morning. Now you go back and you meditate on those scriptures this morning, like that scripture that said that God was going to give Jesus the key, and what he opened, no man can close, and what he closed, no man can open. All right, all right, all right, y'all. Let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember our format here, KLITB, is at the top of the hour. We minister in the word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. Oh, we got music and much, 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 much more. Matter of fact, we're getting ready to put that good sermon on from the Look in the Book ministry at the just in a few minutes from now. And then at 7 o'clock, I'll be back with Ghostbusters, because we got some strange things happening in the neighborhood. Somebody needs to say something about it. Then at 8 o'clock, I'll be back again. And that's Situation Room. Then at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It makes you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. Then at 12 o'clock, we missed any of these programs. Guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long, because we are in your corner.